Part 18, Chapter 8.
Who are you?
Said Turl. He had no trouble at all in seeing the figure who stood in the shadow of the post. It was a brilliantly clear, moonlit night, so bright that even the snow-capped peaks of the Rockies gleamed. Lars Thorensen had brought the newcomer down to the cage at Senior Councilman Staffer's request. Lars had totally flunked out of pilot training after trying a combat maneuver so impossible that it crashed him, wiped out a plane, and cracked his neck. He had been appointed language assistant to the council. The plaster cast collar he was wearing did not interfere with his talking. He had been told to bring the newcomer down to the cage, turn off the electricity, hand in a mine radio, give the newcomer another mine radio, and then with no mine radio of his own, withdraw. Lars was very punctilious about his duties. He had accepted the appointment on the condition that he could now also spread fascism among the tribes, which made both him and his father very happy. This newcomer had really stunk up the ground car. Suddenly, Lars remembered he was also to tell the cadet on guard duty to go elsewhere, so he rushed off to find him and tell him just that. Turl looked at this newcomer, hoping his contempt for the animal wouldn't show through his face mask or sound in his voice. He knew all about General Snith of the Brigantes. As security officer, war officer, and political officer of this planet, he was very well informed about this band. Like all security officers before him, Turl had accepted the situation of a human group in a rainy forest who couldn't be reached or observed and who had developed a symbiotic relationship with the Cyclos. The Brigantes had kept all other races wiped out and had delivered hundreds of thousands of Bantu and Pygmies to the Branch mine site. The only attraction that place had was that you could occasionally buy a human creature to torture. Yes, Turl not only knew all about them, but he had personally engineered their transport over here. Turl had persuaded the creature Staffer that what he needed was a true and reliable corps of troops for this place. Staffer had vehemently agreed. You couldn't trust those Scots. They were too sly and treacherous. You also shouldn't use cadets who seemed to have some damnable and misplaced admiration for that Tyler. The Brigantes had come, but Staffer seemed to be having trouble with the negotiation with them, so Turl had suggested their chief be sent down.
Who are you?
Repeated Turl in the mine radio. Did the creature speak Cyclo, as was reported? Yes, the next words were Cyclo, but a Cyclo spoken as though the thing had goo food in its mouth.
My question be, who the crap could be you?
Said General Snith.
I am Turl, the chief security officer of this planet.
Then what be you doing in a cage?
An observation post that keeps the humans out.
Ah,
said Snith, understanding. Who did this Cyclo think he was fooling?
I understand that you have had some difficulty coming to terms.
You crud brain. I pull you out of a jungle and you don't realize my power.
It be the back pay,
said Snith. It seemed quite natural to be talking to a Cyclo over a mine radio. He had never talked to one any other way. So maybe this interview was on the level after all. This Cyclo knew the proper form.
Back pay,
said Turl. He could understand somebody being concerned about that, but he thought it was a barter system of explosive ingredients for humans.
We was hired by the International Bank,
said Snith. He knew his legends, and he knew his rights, and he was very good at trading. Very good indeed.
At $100 a day per man, we ain't been paid.
How many men? How long?
I calculate in rough figures. 1,000 men for, let's say, 1,000 years.
The rapid skill Turl had with mathematics told him this was 36,500 a year per man. 36,500,000 per year for all the men, and 36,500,000,000 in total. But he made a test.
"Why?"
said Turl in a shocked voice.
"That's more than a million."
Snith nodded gravely.
"Just so. They won't agree to it."
This Cyclo knew when he was in a boxed ambush. Maybe he could do business with him after all. Turl had his answer. The piece of crap couldn't do common arithmetic.
"You were hired, you say, by the International Bank to take Kishangani up Hotsahir, and then take Kinshasa and overthrow the government, and wait for bank representatives to come in and negotiate for proper payment of loans. Is that right?"
Snith had said nothing of the sort, not in that detail. The legends were a trifle vague. But he realized, abruptly, that he was talking to somebody who really knew his business. Turl always knew his business. He hadn't even bothered to review any of this. It was a security chief joke, and had been for more than 1,000 years on this planet. They had had all the details from a captured mercenary, properly interrogated over several days, way back when. It had made delicious reading.
"But your ancestors..."
Turl bore on remorselessly.
"Only captured Kishangani. They never went on to capture Kinshasa."
Snith had dimly known that, but he had hoped it wouldn't come up. His ancient forebears had been crudely interrupted by the Cyclo invasion. He wasn't sure what was coming now.
"You see, the International Bank has been taken over."
He hoped this crap brain would swallow this outrageous set of lies.
"The Galactic Bank, located in the Greedides system, bought them out."
"Greedides system?"
gawped Sniff.
"You know, Universe 8.
This much was true, where the Galactic Bank was. Always sweeten lies with a little truth. Said Sniff, totally adrift. He better watch it. This Cyclo would swindle him. It had happened before. He was on the alert.
"And,"
lied Turl,
"you will be glad to know that it took over all obligations of the International Bank, and that includes yours."
This quick reversal almost spun Snith.
"So, as one of the agents for the Galactic Bank..."
If he only were.
"I am authorized to pay you the back pay. But your ancestors only did half their job, so you only get half the back pay. That would be $500,000.
He was wondering what a dollar was.
"I'm sure that will be acceptable."
Snith came out of his fog like a shot. He had expected nothing.
"Yes,"
he said deliberately.
"I think I can persuade my men to accept that."
Creepo. That would be $10 a man, and the rest for himself. Riches.
"Now, is there any other trouble? Quarters? They found you quarters?"
Snith said yes. They'd given them a whole suburb in the town up there. A square mile of old houses and buildings in the outskirts. Bad repair, but palaces, really.
"You should also insist on some uniforms,"
said Turl. He was looking at this filthy creature over there, in its monkey skins and crossed bandoliers of poisoned arrows and a diamond in a peaked leather cap.
"You should also clean yourself up, comb your fur, look more military."
This was rank criticism. Snith became very cross. He himself was spit and polish, and so was his unit, all 20 of his commandos, 50 men in each, properly officered, trained to the nth degree. He slowed down, hoping they wouldn't notice it was only 35 to the commando these days, the food situation being what it had become.
"And food?"
said Turl. Snith was startled. Could this Cyclo read his mind?
food is bad. There'll be plenty of dead bodies in those houses, but they be old and dried and unfit to eat. There would got to be a clause in any future contract about better food.
Belatedly, Turl remembered that these Brigantes were reputed cannibals, a fact that had lessened their trade with the mine site over the centuries. Sternly, he said,
"There can be no such clause."
His whole plan could be wrecked if they threw these creatures out. His studies, when he was doing the load plan, had isolated some data in Chinko books indicating that these human animals curiously objected to cannibalism. He had, at one time, considered using the Brigantes for his gold plan, but they had been far away, and also they might have run around yammering about no food due to the scarcity of humans in these parts.
For the duration of this contract, you will just have to put up with cattle as food.
It tastes funny,
said the Brigante chief. He was willing to concede the point. His brigade had had to eat an awful lot of water buffalo and monkey and elephant. But it wouldn't do to be too agreeable. Be a hard bargainer.
But all right, if the pay is good.
Turl told him then that he himself intended to go back to Cyclo very soon, and he would personally collect their back pay at the Galactic Bank and return it here, and that meanwhile they should hire on as the sentries and military force of this compound and the council.
You'll bring the back pay back? A $500,000?
Yes, you have my word on it.
The word of a Cyclo? Smith said,
I and six of my picked men will go with you to see that you do.
Although Turl didn't know whether the Imperial government would want to interrogate them, the Imperial government would want a very important, knowledgeable man. He readily agreed. Who cared about what happened to Smith once Turl's plan was executed?
Of course, and welcome,
smiled Turl.
Providing, of course, you help me all you can until we go. Anything else?
Yes, there was. Smith fished out something and gingerly approached the cage. He laid it down between the temporarily de-electrified bars and withdrew, as was proper. Turl tugged his chain over and picked the item up.
They want to pay us in that stuff,
said Smith.
It's only printed on one side, and I think it might be counterfeit.
Turl took it closer to a cage light. What was this thing? He couldn't read any of the characters on it.
I doubt you can even read this,
he challenged.
Oh, yes, I did,
said Smith. He couldn't read either, but somebody had read it to him.
It do say it is one credit, and is legal for payment of all debts. And around the picture, it says, Johnny Goodboy Tyler, the conqueror of the Cyclos.
That was what disturbed him, really. That the Cyclos were said to have been conquered. Turl thought fast.
Indeed, it is a counterfeit, and a lie as well.
I thought so,
said Smith. They always tried to trick you. His ancestors had known that very firmly. Trick before you are tricked, they used to say about all dealings.
But I'll tell you what I will do,
said Turl into the mine radio.
Just so you know who you are really working for, you accept this and say nothing. And when we get to the Galactic Bank, I will redeem it in cold, hard cash.
That was fair. Now he knew who he was really working for. Made a lot of sense. Quite proper. Paid by one group, but working for another. This Cyclo was straight, after all.
Ah, that's fine. By the way, I know that man in the picture.
Turl looked closer. The light had been bad. By crap, it did look like his animal. he tried to remember whether he had ever heard its name. Yes, he dimly recalled the strange words. Yes, it was the damned animal.
That bird just waltzed in and wiped out a whole commando of mine. Not too long ago, attacked them without even a salute, mowed them down, and then stole their bodies and a truckload of trade goods.
Where?
In the forest. Where else?
This was news. His intelligence said that this creature in the picture had been flying around visiting tribes. Or maybe this was how he visited tribes. That was probably it. Turl knew he himself would visit tribes that way. Ah, well, he knew Staffer would be very, very happy indeed to know that. The animal was not where he was thought to be, and he was making war on peaceful tribes. Staffer was a very apt political pupil. Now he would make him a very apt military pupil, in the dumb way that was the only one possible. But to business. He put the banknote back on the ledge between the bars, withdrew, and Snith retrieved it.
So we've settled the contract matter, and you can negotiate it further. Get settled in, and in a very few weeks, or even sooner, you'll be doing your duty here, right?
Indeed so!
And as a bonus, I'll persuade certain parties to authorize you to kill the animal who wronged you on sight.
That was very, very good. And Snith was driven back to the old city by a dutiful Lars, who endured the stink in the name of spreading the righteous creed of fascism and the great military leader, Hitler.